Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Here again, once again, with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm here with Rosalie Brown. We're zooming in. I'm actually zooming from my office. So, internet's a little spotty here. So we're not doing pictures. We're not doing videos this time. So hopefully this works out.
I know. If you hear just one of us talking like randomly to fill up space, it's because the other person dropped off and we're trying to get this in one take, because, you know, this is a fun show to do, but like, I feel like if there's a crisis, we'll just push on and I can fill up a room for 24 minutes with talking about nonsense. Yeah. Trust me. Anyone who knows me knows that's true. They expect it.
The joys of Zoom meetings. Yeah. You may hear a little garbling too. So hopefully it's not too bad. Yeah, I'm in the office. We're office is open again, and everybody's been vaccinated, and work is good. And how about you down in LA?
So what am I doing? Oh my gosh. Okay, so look, I'm vaccinated and all that good stuff. I think I have another like 3 days before I'm official, but whatever. We're still masking up down here. It's interesting. There's been like a cultural shift down here, so people are wearing masks outside, and I'm not going to get into that debate because people feel strongly both sides of that. But what I can say I've been doing, which surprised me. So the pandemic started over a year ago, like 15 months ago. And all these people, the first couple months, right, were watching all this streaming and they were becoming cooks and all that. And I never had any interest in cooking at all ever. And like, I love to eat, but I don't like to make it. And so my kids, if they could come on this podcast or radio show, they would talk about how their feelings about that growing up with a mom who didn't cook, but this isn't therapy. So I rediscovered Hulu, and I forgot I was paying for that. And so I found these old episodes of MasterChef, which are like these home cooks, like they all compete, right? And don't get me wrong, like I'm never going to make it on that show because I don't know how flavor develops and all that. Like what? A puree? What? Right. Like, I don't, okay.
Just follow a recipe though. Yeah.
Right. But I'm like, oh, hey, they did a quick, you know, they get these challenges, right? So I'm like, that person put together a bread pudding in like 20 minutes. I'm like, I could do that. So I literally raced into the kitchen the other day. Like I don't have anything else to do. And I was like, we have extra bread. We have extra. And so I made this bread pudding and my daughter comes out and she's like, what in the hell? What are you doing? And I'm like, I got totally inspired by MasterChef. So I've been making quiches and.
Oh, wow. How'd the bread pudding come out?
Bread pudding is good. You know, when I was married a long time ago, he was from Michigan, and growing up, that was a staple that they would have a lot because I never grew up with it. I didn't even know what it was.
I grew up with raisins. I love it.
Yeah. I thought it sounded really weird. You know, I was like, what do you mean you put bread and milk? But, so I had a recipe, I used to make for my Midwestern partner. And he loved it. And then I kind of, you know, I've moved a million times. I don't know where it is, but I kind of remembered the basics. So I went through and I've made a couple bread puddings now, and, they're satisfactory. My daughter's becoming a food critic. That's fun. This last one did not quite get the 4 stars that I'd hoped for, but, you know, I'm like looking around going, okay, I have a little kitchen,
you do this.
So I can make some stuff. So I'm into quiches now. And, what I do find funny is that I'm not into cooking anything healthy. I'm like, oh, fat, carbs, grease, like eggs, sugar.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm really into fattening people up. So that's become my new obsession.
Fat, carbs, heat, and acid, right? And you know, the acidity and sweets. And
that sounds about right. So that's what I've been up to.
Yeah, salt.
I've been up to like clogging my arteries and getting fat. So I'm sure whatever you've been up to is much more healthy than what I've been up to.
Not so much. Well, I just got back from traveling in the Midwest, and because we're vaccinated, we were going out and eating and stuff, and that was really fun. And I was not eating well. We were frequenting, we were trying different breweries because St. Paul has a bunch of microbreweries. The whole Twin Cities has a bunch of microbreweries. So we went to breweries pretty much every night. So yeah, whatever they had, whatever the truck was serving next outside, that's what we got. And except we did go to one place. Oh my gosh, it was so good. It was it's actually just a couple blocks away from where we bought this building, and it's a German place. And it's been, one of the original breweries back in the 1850s or something like the 1870s. They made lager. And so now they've rehabbed it, and it's they have a brewery, but they also have German food. So we had the brat plate, so curry brats and bratwurst over mashed potatoes with cabbage sauerkraut. Oh, so good. Red cabbage sauerkraut. So yeah. Delicious. With yeah. I had a dunkel, you know, it was a yeah. good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I gotta say, German food is actually probably my favorite cuisine, and it's not easy to get, right? Like, I don't see that here, but when I was in Michigan, yeah. oh yeah, there's a lot of German food, and they're nothing like German food and some good yeah. beer. Oh my gosh, like that totally makes the trip worth it. So if anyone ever thinks like, why would I ever go to the Midwest just for the food alone? Like,
yeah, and the scenery. I mean, it was beautiful. We did a bike ride. Around the chain of lakes in Minneapolis, and ended up at a brewery. That was fun. But it's just gorgeous. You know, everything's green, and I mean, everything's starting to turn brown here and getting a little scary. The lakes and the reservoirs are getting dry already, but in Minnesota, there's plenty of water, right?
Well, I think it's like land of 1,000 lakes or something, isn't it? I
yeah, mean, so exactly.
It's
10,000 lakes and 10,000 breweries.
And a little bit of humidity that's thrown in to balance it out, because you know, you can't have all the good in one place. So speaking of seasons changing and things getting brown, I think this might be a good time to get into our very uplifting, happy topic today.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about fire season and PSPSs and stuff. And we thought we'd kind of go over some things about generators, because that is a reality in our world these days. If we want to have things like refrigeration, lights, internet, which that's kind of silly because it doesn't really work when the power goes out here, unfortunately, because the stupid the internet companies don't have power sources for their servers. But in any event, and for a lot of us, water. I mean, I know when our power goes out, we lose water because we're on a well. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about generators and what to look for. We are a electrical company, and we do install a lot of standby generators, a lot of, you know, the expensive automatic standby generators, and they're great, but not everybody has, you know, $6,000 to $20,000 to plop down on a generator. And we kind of understand that. So there are some other ways that you can get around this, but I thought I'd talk a little bit about a standby generator. What do you get when you get a standby generator? So, you know, some of the positives are it turns on within seconds, so you barely even notice that there's a power outage. You could size it to be able to utilize as many appliances as you want. So we can size it to run the entire home, everything from air conditioning to a well to all the lights in the house to your oven, refrigeration, everything, or as small as just a couple key appliances. But it is a significant investment. So, you know, it's not for everybody. Like, I don't even have one in my house just because, you know, I'm really cheap, but
I'm happy to elaborate on that. Actually, if anyone wonders, you are pretty cheap.
And my wife really wants one, but I'm like, huh, it's going to cost us X amount of dollars. Wouldn't it be more fun to like go to Europe or something?
So, well, when you frame it like that, I mean, honestly, that's a pretty good argument, you know, like, I don't know. You might be onto something there. You just have to make sure that you follow through with that, because we do take notice of those little promises, you know.
Yeah.
That's another show. Never mind.
We've got our trip booked for October, hopefully.
Okay. So why you get no generator this year, but you do get a trip to Europe. So that's not bad.
Exactly. And it'll cost about the same. Whereas a generator, you know, it's a one-time experience, yes, but and a generator lasts many, many years. But yeah, I'm all about the experiences more than the stuff. So anyway, so you can have this thing that actually just comes on automatically, and it runs off of either If you got propane on the house or runoff propane or natural gas, if you got natural gas, so you don't really have to hassle with it at all. When the emergency arises, it just comes on. Some of the cons for standby generators is obviously the cost. You know, they're significantly more expensive than a portable. One of the other cons is they do require quite a bit of maintenance. I mean, you want to get those things maintained at least yearly, and not everybody can maintain their own generator. I mean, you got to go through and change the oil, change the filters, check and make sure everything's working properly. You have to have kind of an understanding of how an engine works and how electrical works. So it's not, you know, it's high level DIY, just maintaining these things. So there's an added cost of that yearly maintenance. But for a lot of folks, it's worth it, you know, and I have to say it's pretty nice to be able to just not notice when you have a power outage. And if you live in an area where you see more than just a PSPS, is like, you know, we were talking about this off air, living up on top of Banner Mountain, you know, wintertime, we'd lose power all the time, right? Oh. But when you live in town, you may not, if you live in Grass Valley, you may not see it very often because of winter, you know, of snow or something like that. But in any event, that's the big one, right? The elephant in the room is the standby generator. Yes, we install those. And yeah, they're great. But it's a significant investment and not everybody can do that. So what do you do in the meantime? What do you do if, you know, I've only got a couple grand or a couple $100? You can get a small portable, and the small portables, you know, will, depending on the size, they can run the majority of your needs. You can get a little 1500 watt generator and it will power your refrigerator, your TVs. Like I've got one that we use for our trailer, and it's just a little 1500 watt Champion. I think it was cost me $600. It's a pure sine wave. And oh, I should talk about that. So one thing what you want to look at when you're looking at generators is it a modified sound wave or a pure sine wave? The difference between a pure sine wave and a modified sine wave is literally the wave of the electricity. A pure sine wave is a nice gradual wave, and it's safe for delicate electronic devices. What's a delicate electronic device? Pretty much everything in your home these days. Pretty much everything has some sort of computer on it. Your refrigerator, your stove, your toaster, your microwave, everything's got a little computer on it. So if you're using a modified, which is a very angular type of wave, they represent it literally in squares, right angles. It's hard on your electrical devices. So you want to find a pure sine wave generator if you want to use anything like your refrigerator, if you've got a newer refrigerator or your microwave or your TV particularly, or your computer. So you can pick one of those things up for, you know, $500-$600. Is this still working? You still hear me? Good. All right, great.
you can't see my facial expression.
No. So
you're like, is she asleep? Did she leave?
I know.
Is she gone? No, I'm still here.
I don't have the facial cues going on. Does she just see this?
No, I'm good.
So we're working.
It's worth
investing a little bit more money on a pure sine wave generator. The other thing you're going to find with a lot of these pure sine waves, they're called inverter generators.
Okay, can we? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So I want to talk before you dive into inverter. Sorry.
Yeah.
See, I was sleeping. Sorry. So I'm curious about the kind of, you know, mid-range couple grand, like $1,500, you know, kind of power source there. How long would you expect something like that to last if you only used it like maybe a couple times a year? Are these something that you buy once and something like that you don't really have to worry about? It's going to probably last you forever.
My little Champion I bought like 3 or 4 years ago, and it barely has any hours on it. Cause yeah, I mean, we use it for camping occasionally, and we've used it for some power outages, and I've lent it to a few friends for some power outages while we were traveling, and change the oil regularly and keep up on things. It's fine. It'll keep going probably another 5 years. No problem. I'll probably be able to sell it in 5 years for a couple $100, you know? And literally it only cost me a few $100 total for using it for a decade.
Right. Not bad.
Yeah. So they'll run a long time. The cheaper ones, the what we call a contractor grade, you know, the ones that are really loud and rattly, those, you know, you can pick those up for a couple $100. And you get slightly more power, but they don't have modified sine wave and not a pure sine. And they can be hard on your electronics. If you're just running a skill saw and power tools and things like that, it doesn't really matter. But if you're running a TV and things, you really want to get something that has a pure sine wave. So you want to spend a little bit more money for one of these inverter types. The other benefit when these inverter types is they're a lot quieter. Like my little guy, my little champion one, it's not quite as quiet as a Honda, but it cost, again, the cheapness in me, it cost 25% of what the Honda, the same Honda cost, right? About $2,000. I got it for $500. So I figure I can go through four of these things before I buy a Honda. And yeah, it's not quite the quality. It's a little bit noisier, but it gets the job done. So I'm pretty happy with it. But if you need more power, then you start getting into, you know, you might not have the option of getting an inverter type generator, or you may have to go towards a contractor grade. Like I have two generators at the house, and I have the little one that runs our electronics and smaller devices. And then I bought a larger one to run our well, because that was one of the things that really upset my wife, was not having water in the house.
Yeah.
So I was born to a contractor. So yeah, not having water in the house is like, yeah, whatever.
You're used to the, in your mind, it's like a tiny little inconvenience, but for some of us, it's a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. So I got schooled on that. So I bought a contractor one to run just my well. And I think that one was in the $1,500 range. It wasn't terribly expensive. And I wired it into my well so I can plug it in. I can plug my well into it and run our well all day. Or at least what we'll do is we'll turn it on for a little bit, do our thing, and then turn it off in the evening and not have any water, or until, you know, have water until we deplete our pressure tank. So we get a little bit. But so those are some things you kind of look at when you're looking at generators. Some of the pros and cons. The pro of a standby generator is obviously just the ease of use. There's nothing like it. You know, you don't have to go out and run extension cords. You don't have to go out and start it. It just happens seamlessly. So I know, like, a friend of mine, he's a retired pilot, but when he was a pilot, he'd go on these trips for work, and he'd leave his wife home with two kids, and they lived up near Scott's Flat. And that was one of the first things he did, because he didn't want to leave his wife without power. He didn't want her have to deal with it. And it made such a big difference in their life.
And probably in their marriage, just so you know.
And their marriage, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And he'd be gone for a week or two sometimes. So yeah. They're definite benefit to them. But yeah, the cons are obviously the cost of installation, sure, and the cost of maintenance. It can be significant. They also, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize with the standby generators is they come on, we'll usually set it for like a weekly runtime. So they don't like, you know, it's a gas motor, so you don't want to let it sit too long. So it'll come on for about 5 minutes every week and just run through the cycle and make sure everything's working. So it is getting some use even when you're not using it, which then again adds to some of the wear and tear, which adds to some of the maintenance. But the idea is that you want that thing ready when the time comes.
Right.
And if you haven't had your generator serviced, your standby generator service, by all means, get that thing serviced, because you don't want to wait till it starts. It's like your car. You want to change the oil in it, and you want to have it maintained so that when you need it, it's actually going to be running.
Well, it's kind of like HVAC. Don't wait until, you know, your air conditioner. Don't wait until you're in a heat wave to see, like, oh, let me see if this sucker's going to run for the season. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Don't wait till it's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah. Just a little prevention will go a long way. Save a bunch of money. Some of the benefits of a smaller generator is the cost. The other benefit is the portability. So like my little generator, we use camping.
Yeah, you know? Take it with you. Sure.
I can take it with me. I can't, standby generator, it's stuck. It's mounted to the ground. It's not going anywhere. Right. Those things are heavy. You're not moving it. They're also really efficient. You know, you're using very little fuel. Like, I know our little guy, I can run it for something like 6 hours on a gallon of fuel or something ridiculous like that. Use it, depending on the load, consumes very, very little fuel. The cons are the fact that you have to set it up. I have to put it in an area where I'm not going to asphyxiate my family. So I have to set it up outside. And if it's raining, that could be a problem. You got to put it under some sort of shelter outside where it's not going to get rained on. You don't want to leave it in the garage, because it does produce carbon monoxide. So you can't asphyxiate yourself. You definitely don't want to run it inside of a closed space. You have to run extension cords to everything, which can be troublesome, especially during the wintertime when you don't want to have doors open or windows open running cords through. The other thing is, the other con is, you're probably not going to leave it running all day, all night. You're probably just going to let it run for a little bit, run some things, and then turn it off, and then run off of candles and other things. So that's going to be a little inconvenient. So you don't have your lights running all the time. So those are kind of the pros and cons, but you know, not everybody's going to be able to afford the $6,000 to $20,000 standby generator. Or we've got some that are, you know, $25,000-$30,000 actually, some of the installs we've done for some of the really big ones that can run everything in the 5,000 square foot house. But if you can only afford $500 or $600, you can have backup power.
It's like more like a band-aid to get you through the, you know, hopefully short inconvenience, right? Because that's really all these power outages are meant to be. Hopefully they're brief, but you know, you and I have lived through days and days and days without power. And
oh my
gosh,
what
it's like, and
yeah, when you lived on Mayflower and I lived on the top of Banner, we had that 1 year. I can't remember the year, and I think
it was 2011. I want to say 2011. I just wanted to just
all
move.
The oaks just dropped on all the power lines up and down 3,500 feet up and down the Sierras all the way from every community. So the contractors couldn't keep up. Yeah, it was a month without power.
I just thought, okay, universe, I get it. I'm leaving. I get it. I'm out. You know, I just thought,
rough.
Yeah, my kids were very unforgiving. They're like, are you kidding me? I was like, I'm sorry, you know, but that was rough for everybody. So yeah, looking back, if I were to move to an area where I was a little bit more rural, and that was I would definitely be looking at some investments, maybe, you know, cashing in a 401k, I might actually commit to something like that.
Because I got to tell you,
if
we'd stayed up there, I probably would have installed a standby generator. Now that we live in town, it doesn't happen as often like that. So it's not as big of a deal. But yeah, if we were still on top of Banner Mountain, I'd have a standby generator for sure.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, if someone has a question about any of this, I know that, you know, you guys do you guys will walk people through and kind of quote them, but also, you know, even like, what kind of generator do you think is best? Here's what I need. I mean, you guys would be pretty straight up and direct if you think that a standby is more than someone needs, right? You'll just kind of help them to make some good choices, right?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, typically by the time somebody gets to us about getting a quote for a standby generator, they've already done their due diligence and figured out what they need.
Sure.
You know, it's a big leap to go from a portable to
a standby. I would say
it's, you know, it's 10 times more, you know,
right,
typically. So you're doing the due diligence before they even get to us. But once you've decided to go with a standby generator, then definitely we can help you out, figure out what size of a generator you're going to need and what kind of load, because we'll come in and figure out, you know, what are the appliances that you have that are must haves. And then what are the ones that, yeah, maybe I can live without, but it'd be nice if I had that.
Right,
so
right.
We can give
have some options. Yeah.
Have some options and give you a couple of different ideas on what we can run with what. You know, I mean, if it's a 6 kilowatt or is it a 20 kilowatt? And they'll kind of, you know, there's some big jumps in costs there. But there's also big jumps in what I can run and what I can't run. So definitely. Yeah. And then portables, just look on the internet. You know, I mean, there's plenty of information out there on portables, plenty of YouTube things about them. And look at reviews. They're all out there. And with that, we got to wrap this sucker up.
Okay.
Hopefully this has been informational to you guys. I hope you enjoyed it and helped a little bit in determining what might be best for you. If you do have other questions about standby generators, plumbing, electrical, heating and air, anything like that, you can reach us at, I don't have the phone number in front of me. Oh my goodness. I'm just going to say our regular phone number, 530-272-9120. 530-272-9120. You can also find us on the web at easyasabt.com. You can find us on Facebook. Please like our Facebook. And if you'd like to get our newsletter, you can go onto our website and click on our newsletter, and we send that out both digitally and mail. So give us a shout, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.